Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jason Lockett for NFL Insider for CBS Sports joins us now. Jason, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes, man. I appreciate it on this morning.
My pleasure, guys. How's everything going?
Good, hanging in there, Jason. Were you surprised by the news that came down on Friday and the settlement, with Kaepernick and Reed and the National Football League?
Yeah, I was. This is fairly unprecedented. There isn't really a blueprint or a template for this. It's usually the league coming after a player or a coach, right? And especially in the NFL, whether it's Deflategate or Bountygate or whatever, not so much a player putting the commissioner and maybe not all 32 owners, but at least half of them and a bunch of GMs and a bunch of coaches sort of under the gun. So I was sort of very interested just to see where it went, how it proceeded, you know, if or when we got to a hearing stage and what that would have been like for the league and these various people who would have basically been told, you know, you have to consider this like you're under oath and be as honest as you possibly can. And, you know, you're about to be on the wrong end of an inquisition. So I knew the league, for various reasons, did not want to get to a process like that, but I wasn't sure, you know, because these sides were sort of so diametrically opposed, if they would be able to find enough common ground to sort of settle and squash this thing. And obviously they were, you know, in the weeks and months to come. I suspect we learn a little bit more about some of the particulars. I don't think we'll ever, you know everything based on the confidentiality agreements, et cetera. But you know, an unprecedented situation with an unprecedented conclusion. And no matter what we may find out one way or the other, the bottom line is the NFL gave concessions and gave a lot of money to somebody who they didn't have to do anything for. So I don't know how you don't look at that at least as a baseline, as I'm not going to use terms like won or lost, but certainly Colin Kaepernick got some recourse from the NFL. And this was something when the process started, the league didn't even think he had merit for it to move forward. You know, they wanted it over before it began. And it ended up with them stroking a pretty big check for Colin Kaepernick. So I think the process in his mind probably served him well.
And so Jason, you think that Kaepernick will be back in the NFL? I mean, sooner rather than later, after everything that just happened this weekend?
I don't know about sooner rather than later. I don't know if at all at this point, to be honest with you.
And I'm sure you heard what his attorney
said.
I know him.
You know, and I think very highly of Mark Garagos. But I can also remember Mark Garagos going on CNN and like, I don't know, 6 months ago, and saying somebody was about to sign him then, and, oh, wait for this, you know, this other shoe's going to drop, and, you know, wait, there's going to be a bombshell. I don't know. Could somebody sign him? Sure. Do I think three teams are kind of, waiting to give him a contract any moment now? I don't think so. I have a hard time thinking that's the case, but at some point over the course of a long offseason, is there an owner willing to do it? Possibly, but these are the same guys who also, in the heat of the moment, right, as seasons were unwinding, as seasons were collapsing because this quarterback went down or that quarterback went down or that quarterback went down, they systematically found Mark Sanchez, you know what I mean, or Matt Castle or Josh Johnson, anybody but Colin Kaepernick in real time as seasons were falling apart. I don't know that now all of a sudden with 6 months before we play a preseason game that people are all of a sudden going to give Colin Kaepernick, an NFL contract. I hope they do. I hope he gets his shot. He's clearly one of the best 100. There's going to be 100-plus quarterbacks under contract again this offseason. He's clearly one of the best 100. But I don't know, guys. I've kind of watched this whole thing unfold, and I don't know that it has, a shiny, happy resolution.
You know, Jason, it's hard to say win-loss. We don't know exactly the parameters of the deal. I'll ask it from this way. Do you think Kaepernick looks at this Reed looks at this as a win.
I mean, I don't think you can. I don't think Colin. I mean, I've gotten to know Colin a fair amount over the course of his career, and spent some time with him last winter, probably four hours hanging out with him, and it ended up being days before he filed the collusion lawsuit. I don't think he's looking at it as a win at all. I think it's degrees of sort of the degrees to which you can kind of put your head on the pillow at night and think you at least fought the good fight. You know, he hasn't. His career might be over completely. Two seasons have passed without him getting a workout. You know, he's had to deal with the president of the United States. Calling him and his cohorts SOBs. I don't think he's looking at it like a win. I think he's looking at it as I followed my heart. In his mind, it was a necessary struggle. He still doesn't know exactly where it will lead. He's still developing his platform. Along the way, he's done a ton of stuff for a lot of people, giving $1 million away, you know, is working with kids on a daily basis and trying to stay in the best shape he can stay in. But I don't think he's looking at it as a win. I think he was looking at it as there's things sort of conspiring against me here, and I can either take my ball and go home, or I can try to fight for what I think is right. And he went into that fight knowing I have no idea how it's going to end or if it's going to be a fair process or what I'm going to find out. But I'm not just going to sit idly back and let this whole thing continue to happen as it is.
You know, he did bring, as you know, him and Reed, you know, he brought a lot of awareness to social injustice and everything, police brutality and everything, what he was stood behind. You know, he did do that. So if we shift gears, Jace, about the Steelers, Antonio Brown. I mean, what type of draft picks do you think that Pittsburgh can get for AB at this point?
I think that as long as nothing else comes out, or you know, the league doesn't feel like there is discipline forthcoming from this domestic incident, I think they can get low first round value for him. Whether that is a first round pick in the back end of the first round, or whether that's a 2 and a 4 or 3 threes or, you know what I mean? Whatever combination of draft picks they feel like on their draft chart comes out to late first round value, they'll be willing to do it. And I think they'll be open to different concepts and different ideas. It could be a player in a pick, but this isn't going to be this isn't a salary dump. This is a football trade. This is something that's about value. You know what I mean? It's not the Baltimore Ravens saying, give us whatever the best thing we can get to unload this contract of this guy who we don't want here anymore. I mean, that's what Joe Flacco was, a salary dump. This is a football trade. I know they want him in the NFC. They want him out of the AFC, and they want to try to get first-round value for him. And I think, you know, what, 8-9 days from now, we're in Indianapolis at the Combine. That's when things would really get shaking. I think they'll be able to find that, whether it's the Saints or the Eagles or the 49ers or the Seahawks or the Bears or the Packers. You could come up with a pretty good list of NFC teams that might feel like they're an Antonio Brown away from either, in the case of the 49ers, going from afterthoughts to a playoff team, or for those other teams going from, you know, a pretty good team with good playoff chances to maybe, you know, a team that now could win a Super Bowl if a guy like that was able to come in and stay healthy. And the bottom line is he has been healthy, and he'll be a young 31, and every year he catches 100 balls for about 1,400 yards at least, you know, and at least 10 touchdowns. Those guys aren't just hanging out on the street corner.
You know, Jason, his behavior, though, you know, the Q&A with fans over the weekend, some of the other stuff, I know to a lot of teams it doesn't matter. Does it scare anybody off?
Sure. I mean, it's not ideal. You know, they're not getting rid of him because he still isn't a dominant football player. They're getting rid of him because he can't coexist with their coach and quarterback anymore, because locker room issues have boiled over. But I think teams that study that situation will also say, well, wait a minute. You know, the Steelers were a bit of a pressure cooker last year overall. And you had the Le'Veon Bell situation, and you had dudes talking about Bell's money and posing in Bell's locker. And you had a lot of unusual circumstances there that were maybe allowed to fester, that were covered up because they won. And then when they stopped winning, you know, the you-know-what hit the fan. There's GMs and coaches out there who will always convince themselves we can make this guy work in our locker room, in our culture, right, with our leaders, with a blank slate. We're getting a top five receiver for $13 million a year pay as you go at a time where guys like Sammy Watkins are getting $18 million a year. And we got this cat, 3 years, 13, 13, 13, no balloon payments, no guarantees. If it doesn't work out here, we trade him next season and recoup one of the two picks we traded to get rid of him. I think at the end of the day, there'll be more people talking themselves into it than talking themselves out of it.
So, hey, Jace, man, so obviously everything with the Cardinals, the head coach, their new head coach, Kingsbury, and what he said about Kyler Murray while he was, you know, a college coach, you see a scenario with the Cardinals where they might actually deal Josh Rosen, being that they have that first pick. Do you see a situation like that?
I think they're much more focused on and much more likely to be a scenario where if Kyler Murray proves to be the best quarterback in this draft through the combine and the pre-draft evaluations and pro days and team visits and all that, then I think the Arizona Cardinals will be doing backflips because I still trade out of one. I mean, the Cardinals need help everywhere. I mean, they're not a Nick Bosa away. You know what I mean? They're not a Quinnen Williams away from being anywhere close to winning. And the way this draft sets up and some of their needs, a guy they would get at, whatever, sixth overall might not be a hell of a lot different than the guy they're getting first overall, especially if a couple quarterbacks go and they're not taking quarterbacks. So I think they're all about trading down. I think they're going to keep talking up Kyler Murray sort of privately and crossing their fingers that Kyler Murray projects well and handles himself well when he meets these executives, because it makes their pick worth more. And somebody might say, I got to get ahead of the Giants to get this quarterback. Or if the Giants move to 3 with the Jets, then maybe I've got to go all the way to 1. They want quarterbacks to be hot. But what are you going to get for Josh Rosen? I mean, it would be a difficult trade to execute right now. You're not going to get close to the value you gave up to get him. And, I mean, are they going to be the organization that just gives up on everybody after a year? You know what I mean? You kick Steve Wilkes and his coaching staff to the curb after a year. You're gutting your roster, and now you don't have enough conviction to stand by a kid you traded up to get a 10th overall a year ago. I think at a certain point you got to start building with some of the stuff you have.
You know, Jason, with Murray though, and we'll see exactly how he grades out, where he comes in height wise and everything and the like. But you know, the early after he commits to football here, you know, what's the early grumblings you hear from talent evaluators about his game translating at his size to the NFL?
I mean, the size will resonate more with some teams than others. I mean, I think you'll hear people who say he plays bigger than he is. He doesn't get a ton of balls knocked down at the line of scrimmage. He's so athletic and so mobile, and he throws so well on the run, and he's able to create space for himself. Now, it's one thing when you're doing it behind a dominant offensive line in college. It's another where you might go to a bad team in the NFL without the same sort of protection. Everybody's going to have to make their own peace with that. But I think what teams are really interested in now is, I mean, it's obvious this kid can play football, but no one spent a lot of time on him this fall because nobody thought this was going to happen, including him and his dad. So when people were in Oklahoma, they weren't spending a whole lot of time interviewing the quarterback for an hour and, you know, seeing what he's like after practice and asking a million questions about him, because he's a baseball player. So this is all kind of cute, and then he'll be playing another sport. They haven't gotten to know him and done the due diligence on him the way they would any other top-ranked quarterback in any other year. So the teams are actually coming from sort of a place of we're scrambling to catch up with this kid. And I think the time he spends individually, starting at the combine with those 15-minute meetings and then expanding to visits with teams and people flying all over the place to talk to his parents and talk to his high school coaches and all that, I think that's the part of the process that will be incredibly important for him. Because of some of the unusual nature of the two-sport thing and where his mind really is and some of the weird interviews he did at the Super Bowl, I think it's going to be about getting in this kid's head and seeing exactly what he's all about before we use the first, the third, the sixth, the eighth, whatever overall pick on him.
Well, staying in the quarterback theme, Jace, if a quarterback that all the NFL evaluators do know about is Nick Foles, where do you think that Foles will be ultimately dealt to?
We saw this with Flacco, right, where it's Denver for a 4, and I think Baltimore did really well to get a 4. But, like, it was only going to be, you know, Jacksonville, maybe Washington, maybe Denver. But that's the quarterback market right now. Well, now scratch Denver off it. I mean, it's really Jacksonville. I mean, it's Jacksonville, or it's Jacksonville, or I guess it's Jacksonville.
Right.
I mean, Washington, do they want to go and pay a 30-something guy $20 million a year when they're already giving Alex Smith, they are contractually obligated to pay Alex Smith another $54 million the next 2 years, whether he plays or not? I don't see how that's feasible for them. You know, Jacksonville clearly is still trying to win now. John DeFilippo, who used to work with Foles and with the Eagles, is down there. They think they're a veteran quarterback away from being, a decent team again. I would say they're not, but that's who they think they are. So there's a game of chicken going on right now, and it's a dangerous game that the Eagles are playing, because if they tag him, he's going to sign that sheet immediately, yeah. I would think. And now you better hope you get something for him. I mean, do you end up just trading him for a 6 or a 7 because Jacksonville and maybe Miami or maybe Washington stick to their guns? I don't know. I wouldn't tag him. I would say enough's enough. We'll take the comp pick for him. Godspeed. But they're certainly considering tagging him, and they might. But, I mean, if he leaves with a comp pick, you're probably getting at least a fourth-round pick in 2020. Are you that desperate to get a third-round pick at best in 2019 for him? I don't know, man. We know. I'll tell you this: he's not going to be back in Philadelphia. This is not a good year to be moving quarterbacks after so many quarterbacks changed locations a year ago. And I don't think Foles is going to get a monster contract. I mean, 3 years, you know, $65 million, something like that, which by current quarterback standards is by no means nuts. I think that's probably his best case.
We're talking to Jason Lockett, for NFL Insider for CBS Sports. Jason, final one for me. Is dealing with the fallout from the Super Bowl. We know all the accolades going New England's way. I'm curious if from a Rams perspective heading into this offseason, you know, they went all in. McVay clearly put the brunt of the blame of that performance offensively on himself after the game. We saw the quarterback Goff struggle. We know they're not going anywhere, but this is an interesting offseason because that is a tough loss to bounce back from, especially with how poorly they played offensively and schematically couldn't figure out exactly what New England was doing defensively, and certainly with all the impending free agents they have as well.
Yeah, it's it's called the Super Bowl hangover for a reason, right? The team that loses a Super Bowl generally has a down year the following year and might have to scrap and claw to get their way back, you know, to a wild card spot or something like that. It does seem to take a toll, whether it's mentally, physically, a combination of all of the above. And they're going to have to reinvent themselves some. They're not going to be able to go all in on a bunch of one-year free agents like last year and kind of put a team of mercenaries together. They're going to have to get some young, cheap labor on the defensive side of the ball. I think they're going to have to really invest their draft capital over there. You're not going to be able to move forward be able to keep a Sue with a Donald. You know, that's not happening. You're not going to be able to have Tlaib and Peters. You know, you're going to have to make some decisions there. I don't see Peters being back there. I don't see Sue being back there. I don't see Fowler being back there. And they've sunk their money into the offensive side of the ball. And once they pick Goff, you know, it's only going to be more lopsided. So I think it's going to be about the draft and utilizing some of these compensatory picks for these guys walking in the next 2 years to find some younger and cheaper replacements. But look, this is a team that showed, take the Super Bowl out of it.
Yeah.
All year long, they showed they can get to 35 before you can get to 35. And I think that's who they are. And with Wade Phillips, it's going to be just get us a couple of turnovers a game, a couple of stops, and they're going to have to win with offense because they've made their bed with Gurley. They've made their bed with Cooks. They're going to make their bed with Goff. They got to change some things up on the offensive line, but you know, they'll get Cooper Kupp back. That's who they are, man. They're going to try to outscore you.
Jason, we appreciate the time on this Monday morning. We'll do it again real soon, all right, bud?
Thanks,
Jason. My pleasure. Sounds good, guys. Have a good day.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.